Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2019, we've been welcoming guests onto Cultaholic Island. Guests who have been choosing three of their favourite wrestling matches. Now it is time for a return trip. I'm Tom Campbell, and this is Desert Island Graps Revisited.
A journey has culminated here tonight. From spinal surgery, from knee injuries, the Texas Rattlesnake could be called a bionic remnant. Because we're deep in the heart of Texas, and Stone Cold is going to challenge to become the top man. Texas crowd, Austin is revered. He is a folk hero. Austin has reached legendary status in his home state thus far in the career, as Austin not taking his eyes off of the Rock thus far. And the rivalry between these two, extremely, extremely popular superstars. Stone Cold has the advantage.
There's no doubt that in Houston, Texas, Stone Cold Steve, here we go! It's on!
But it wasted any time! And nor did we think they would!
Back to the island. We are welcoming back previous visitors to Cultaholic Island who picked three wrestling matches that they love and they wanted to watch while stranded here. And I thought it'd be quite nice to catch up and watch one of them with our guest today, who was one of the very first people who joined us on Cultaholic Island all the way back in 2019 for the World Caught Fire. It's only flipping former ICW World Heavyweight Champion and host of Wrestling Daft Grado, isn't it? There he is.
Well, it's hello yourself. There. That's yourself, right enough. No, heard that in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I thought I'd get it in before you. How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. I am sitting here now over a year since I last touched a wrestling ring. I am 4 stone heavier. I am breathing like a big fat fucking janitor. My IBS is playing up. I need a haircut. I need a shave. I look what we call in Scotland, I look mockit. That's a word for I look dirty. I am a bit uninspired right now, I must admit. It's a bit deflating when you see all your pals in America. They're all going back to shows and they're putting on masks. Whereas out here, it still very much looks like, well, it's going to be another 5-6 months before we can even consider wrestling in front of, you know, so many people in front of in a wee community town hall. So, aye, man, I'm missing wrestling. I'm missing it. I try to watch as much as the new stuff as possible from a podcast. I find it difficult. I won't lie to you. I quite like AEW. I can't watch Raw. I struggle with SmackDown. I like listening to your podcast. I like listening to Cultaholic, and I podcasts and YouTube shoots. That kind of keeps my love for wrestling still burning, if that's a phrase.
Life is a mystery.
Mate, I tell you what, mate. See how the weekend before we stopped wrestling, I was like, this song is really doing my tits in. I was like, this song is annoying.
You come back with something new?
Well, not, because it's got to the point now, Tom, where as I miss it, and I want to blast it. I want to blast it. I am, honestly, I would, if I could, I would set up a ghetto blaster in Morrison's car park and use the guardrails that they're using for COVID procedures, and I would rundown and do my entrance in Morrison's right now if I could, mate, because I miss it.
I promise you. I promise. We'll get there. We'll. You know what? Like a few people. Yeah. No, it's like a few people will go, "Oh, this is great," and it is, and it's real because we're all coming out of this sort of charred around the edges after an unreal like year and a bit. And it's still not quite there because, as you say, we're not back wrestling yet, are we? Properly in the UK, a few companies have teased, "Oh, we're coming back," and we go, it's."
I've accepted a booking for July, and I'm like, and the promoter, he's a lovely guy, but he's wanting me to sign contracts, and I'm like, is this even going to happen? You know what I mean?
I suppose I get it. You can't. I booked a haircut for April, and I'm not even sure that's going to happen.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. But you know what? We've got to just keep believing.
You know what? We're gonna go back in time and we're gonna inspire. My mission is, by the end of our time today, Grado, I want to try and make a furtive attempt to rekindle that fire within the soul of one of the most entertaining people in all of British wrestling. If he turns up, great, but if not, it's just me and you, Grado.
Well, do you know what? This match is like my favorite match. Did I say that?
This is one of the three matches that Grado chose to be stranded on a desert island watching. What are we watching today, Grado?
Today we are watching The Rock versus Stone Cold from WrestleMania 17.
Amazing. Houston, we have a
match,
problem.
That match will be that match was the best. Do you want me to keep talking then? I don't know.
This is what we're gonna do, right? So it's not just me and Grado or Grado and I that are gonna watch this. No, you are gonna watch it with us. If you have the WWE Network as a website or Peacock or however you do it these days. I encourage you to scrub to 3 hours, 1 minute and 46 seconds in. If you are on the network, it is the section called The Rivalry Between Stone Cold and The Rock. Between The Rock and Stone Cold. That's the section if you want to tap on there. But it's 3 hours, 1 minute and 40 seconds in. I will give you a second to do that right now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome back. We are going to chat about this. We're going to talk about Grado's. We're going to talk about Grado. We're watching and his first time watching this again. We'll talk through it. We'll have a lovely time. You will watch along with us. And on go, on the word go, we will all press play at the same time. So in 3, 2, 1, go. And of course, we have to start with the most iconic wrestling music video of all time. Do we not?
This, for me, is wrestling.
Yes.
If there's this music video, brings back so many memories, so many good feelings. Whenever I feel down or I want to kind of feel good about wrestling, you stick on this. If it's WrestleMania season, if you just want to rekindle your childhood, this is the build-up video that you play.
It's kind of, it became its own thing. Like the My Way music video is something that like people parody and stuff now, because there's nothing, this was unlike anything else they done. They'll, in 01 is a great year for music videos because we'll get loads of these throughout the year. I think if 2001 gave us a weird WCW invasion, but it gave us a great year for music videos because it was the same year that we got "Hello, my friend, we meet again." Yep.
We had the 2000. What else was 2001? Did we get Marilyn Manson?
Beautiful People.
The fight song, possibly. Fight, well, that song. SmackDown fight song for Invasion. Song. But do you know what? What's funny, Tom? Right. Wrestling has, see music videos in wrestling, I believe, you look at the amount of programs that you watch now, sport programs, right? The likes of football, if you've watched a big game, it's a packaged wrestling video.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The highlight of it, everything has been inspired for wrestling pay-per-views. It's took its own kind of, I believe, this is like one of the original music videos. And do you know what I mean? It's branched out to other sports, other entertainment. Even when you watch Love Island, if you want to know what happened the night before, they patch it up like a wrestling promo video.
I'd love a Love Island promo which features somebody getting a rock bottom and a stunner.
Oh, that would be perfect.
By the way, I
need to say I'm a big, big fan of Love Island, to be honest with you. That's my guilty pleasure, but we don't want to be talking about Love Island.
That's all right.
But so, you know what I was telling you off air that, so basically, the guy who made this music video is a guy called Dave Sahadi, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Dave Sahadi worked with the WWF from like 1985 till 2003, and he left. I mean, this is a cultaholic followers. They will all be going, "All right, Grado, we know this, because I know yous are all smartened up." listen, here's the deal. One of the best things, I don't like to go on about it, but I once wrestled for a little-known company just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, called TNA Impact Wrestling. Now, Dave Sahadi was part of the TNA team, and I swear to God, Tom, every week I would bug this guy about music videos. Bug him. I'd go, "How did you manage it? What did you do? Like, how did you pick the songs?" And see, just picking his brain, it was one of the best things, best experiences, because this is amazing, mate.
So did he give you anything on why he picked Limp Bizkit My Way?
So I think he told me once that they get like a list of songs that they can use. You know, I think they had a deal with record companies where they would go, "These are the songs that are going to be promoted in the next couple of months. What do you fancy picking?" So it was a matter of that. However, it's funny, but because he had an assistant, and he told me in my lug, he went like that. He says, "By the way, he's talking shit. He never made the My Way video. He just takes the credit for it." So I've exposed him on this podcast, but it's just worth noting.
Scandal. Absolute scandal. Shocking.
What about this? Held Finkel.
People. Look at that. Wow. There's people there.
Tom, what were you doing at this point?
At this, when this happened, time, okay, I can picture where I was in my mind. I'm going to ask you the same question shortly afterwards. I am back home in Worcester, where I grew up. Me and my younger brother have stayed up to watch WrestleMania. He's fallen asleep. I'm still going. I've got an energy drink. I don't drink them anymore because heart palpitations. But I am just glued to this. This was on this. We paid $14.95 on Sky Box Office to have this on the big telly downstairs. The big telly downstairs, even though I had to go to college the next day. Screw that. I did go to college. But I stayed up very late to watch this.
Wow.
Volume was very low because everyone's asleep.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just at this point, like every fiber in my being is just pulsating because this is the biggest match on the planet. This is the biggest thing that's ever going to happen in wrestling.
This was the penultimate. No, that's not right. Or the ultimate. This was.
Yeah.
This was WWF. This was the Attitude, the tail end of the Attitude Era. But this was the biggest, man. This was the biggest. And you know what? Just a wee side note. I love that music. I love that Disturbed version. A lot of people prefer the original.
It gets a bit of hate, and I like it. I think it's where he's going.
Love this. I love this. Oh, there's Errol. Lovely Errol. He's a great referee.
Right, so...
But look at this, man. Look at his eyes.
Where were you?
Where was that? Mate, I was the exact same as you. I actually remember because it was... Was it 18 or 17 where I got my Golden Retriever? I'm sure my Golden Retriever... We had just been bought, and I remember having 4 double chocolate muffins and my first ever tub of barbecue Pringles.
Wow, that's buzzing for the gods.
I think at this point, I'd maybe I can relate to being quiet. I remember having to because mum and dad were in bed and I had school in the morning. But when The Rock comes out like that, The Rock was my guy, and look at his eyebrows. Look at he's obviously been to the beauty salon on the Saturday. Maybe when he's in getting a wee tan, he's obviously had his eyebrows done, and he just looks. And he's also trimmed his sideburns at this point. He doesn't have the long electrifying sideburns.
Yeah. When did he lose those?
It couldn't have been long before this. And look at this, man. That was what you done with a belt. Look at that. I did exactly the same with a bum bag.
The world. And do you know what? And we do the classic SmackDown review. On the Cultaholic podcast, being Matthew Gregg from Botchmania. And we look at Rock at this point. We're in 2000. We're looking at Rock at this point, and we're going, look, this is the guy has the world in the palm of his hand. This isn't even his final form.
No.
You know, he would be like, this is minuscule compared to where The Rock would go, like life-wise, wrestling-wise, whatever, movie-wise. And look straight away. Now, here... This is now. So before we get into this, so you're pulling for The Rock, aren't you? You're all full steam ahead The Rock at this point.
Tom, 100%. I am going for The Rock. The Rock was my guy at this point. What about you?
Well, I was The Rock at this point, but I'll be happy to be better obscure company and say Steve Austin. But I was very much The Rock. I love Steve Austin's comeback story, like the whole like it did feel like he fought back from injury to be here, and. But The Rock had just carried the company. And I got quite annoyed on this night because the crowd turned on The Rock. And I get why, because we're in Texas.
That's so funny. I'm the exact same. I was even gutted the year later as well when he was getting booed against Hogan because I grew up being a Rock guy rather than a Hogan. I've always felt sorry for The Rock.
Yeah.
But look at this, man. Look at how exciting is this start? You know, there's no messing about. It's just, there we go. Oh, he's gone for the stunner there.
I like the fact that they're blatantly ripping off Grado, Rockstar Spud, and TNA.
Oh, they totally are. Oh, my God.
Loved your work in that. I think we talked about it on Desert Island Grappling.
They kind of see Shaker by them. I don't blame them.
Well, it was good times. It was good times. Paul Heyman as commentator replacing Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler had left the company in quite dramatic fashion about a month before this. Following the sacking of his girlfriend at the time, Stacey Carter. How did you feel about Paul Heyman on comms this time? Were you appreciative, or did you think we needed Jerry Lawler for this moment?
I don't think we needed the King for this, mate.
No.
I think this will go down as Heyman and JR's their swan song, or whatever you how do you say it? Is it a swan song? I don't know. But this is
the magnum opus.
Aye, Semper Paratus. This is. Nah, do you know what? Because actually when you hear, if you go back and even listen to a Raw from that era, you don't think about you instantly think about WrestleMania 17. I think Heyman and JR together. Do you get what I mean by that?
Yeah, definitely. What I love is that Heyman would say in interviews afterwards that like he was put into this role and he wanted to get JR back because he felt that JR had been coasting. So he would always needle JR. When JR even had like half a thought that was sort of half-hearted, he would poke him to really get his dander up just to wind him up. And I love Paul Heyman because I love JR, and I've talked about this on podcasts, but I feel like with AEW I can't help but feel a bit sad hearing him, like it doesn't feel like JR, you know? Is that me?
And I mean for me, I love JR, right? And I love Crabbit JR. I love Crabby, as Conrad calls him, Red Ass JR. I love that he's an old Crabbit shite. Do you know that? I love that because he's the sort of guy that, you know, if your football went into his garden, instead of handing you the ball back, he would fucking put a knife in it, you know, to warn you not to come back to the street. That's the kind of impression I get of JR. But you're right, mate. I know what you mean. I wouldn't say he's phoning it in, but he's kind of... Look, we know what he likes and doesn't like in wrestling. He doesn't like that style of wrestling. I think sometimes he doesn't want to bury himself by selling it.
Yeah, but there's part of you that goes, you work for the company. Like, get the product over. Like you do here. That's just my thinking. Because you know, we've both done stuff with commentary. And you're just like, I just want to get the product over. I don't want to expose when it's not the full ticket. You know?
Aye.
By the way, we've had Superplex. less than 15 minutes.
Is this good? Has this gone well so far? I've never reviewed a match before. Is this all right?
This is great. This is us riffing and watching all this go down. I'm happy with it.
You know what? See, one of my kind of moments where I was gutted, right? And this is me just putting myself over and telling my own wee JR story.
Do it.
But you know that JR was booked for World of Sport. I don't want to talk about World of Sport, but we look at that. Look at these punches. Look at these punches. Look at that.
And here he comes, ducks it through. Oh, literally, just gravity not asked. There you go.
That's so intense. Look at that.
And the crowd, like, it's weird because, like, every time The Rock's hitting a move, like, there's a cheer that is immediately just, like, blanketed by boos. Like, someone throws, like a fire blanket over any positivity for The Rock.
Surely. Do you know what? I'm looking for the Wayne Rooney sign. Do you remember that for WrestleMania 17?
Rooney Mania, did it say?
No, it was Wayne Rooney.
Oh, I'm thinking of
it. Because it was, I'm sure, no, it was the Wayne Rooney, because that was before Booker T was in WWE.
There was a Gorillaz sign in the crowd that was somebody Mania, I seem to remember. Tell me your JR story.
Oh, no, it was just one night when I was over for WrestleMania weekend and I hung about with Jeff Jarrett all that weekend.
Nice.
And we went for dinner and it was me, JR, Jeff Jarrett, JB. There was Barry Bloom, Goldberg's agent and stuff like that. And he was superb with me. I had been drinking all day, right? And I get excited, right? And I was popping everybody and trying to be funny. And this Barry Bloom was going, "You remind me so much like James Corden. You're the next James Corden. You're the next James Corden," right? I was loving it. But JR was hating it, man.
Why?
And I remember him basically pulling me aside and he was steaming and he was basically telling me, like, because he was like, "You do know that, you know, Jeff has been told by ITV to put you as the main guy. I don't agree with it," right?
What?
He didn't say exactly that, but in a roundabout way, he was going, "I mean, you're the comedy guy, da, da, da." And he probably was right, to be honest with you, right? But just hearing JR say it, I just remember standing there like a wee boy just going, "Cool, right, that's fine. I totally get what you mean. No, that's fine." But
does he not? Do you not break you? Because that'd have ripped my soul out.
Oh, mate, used to it for years, bro. Used to that stuff for you. Oh, by the way, did we miss? I always remember, I'm sure Matthew caught it with the old, where he slips the blade.
Oh, I think
there's Errol putting it back in his pocket.
Just keeping it subtle, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ref that you've worked with at TNA there, old your mate Earl Ebner. Did he ref your Monsters Ball? your Monsters Ball, Grader.
he was away by then, but Errol Hemner was the best.
Mm.
Errol Hemner was the nicest guy ever, and he was honestly my biggest supporter there. And I'd get steaming, and I'd go, we'd sit at the bar, and I'd go, "You fucking screwed Bret Hart, you cunt." And he'd go, "I didn't know, fucking screw you." he was brilliant. And I remember one time as well, I filmed him talking about me, and he was like, "Grado's so entertaining. He's a breath of fresh air." And I went, "Oh, I didn't expect that, Errol. Can I get a wee cuddle?" And he went, "Fuck you. Fuck you. I work with you. I'm not your lover." Just the nicest wee old man. Loves getting drunk.
That's ice.
Wait, look at me putting myself over, man. I need to stop this. I get too excited.
This is me finding an excuse to hang out with Grado and watch.
This is making me feel good.
That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. We've all been denied wrestling for ages. We need to remind ourselves why we love the bloody thing.
Can we talk about... did we ever talk about it in Desert Island Discs? Did we ever talk about the Biggin and Wiggin? Did we talk about the Biggin and Wiggin?
I think we briefly mentioned the Biggin and Wiggin. I seem to remember that we played a clip of it. Oh, I played a clip of it in the edit. But That was good times. I think
I would say, Tom, I would say if I need cheered up, then I'll watch the Rock versus Austin build up music video, and then if that doesn't work, then I'll watch the Biggin' and Wiggin' commentary
yes!
by yourself.
Yes.
Is he a poor man's Jeff Hardy? Is that what he was? It's because he is a poor man's Jeff Hardy.
People call him a poor man's Jeff Hardy because he is a poor man's Jeff Hardy. The clothesline from Hull is the most deadly leg drop this side of Wigan.
Oh my god, that still tackles me to this day, bro.
I still feel like I need to reconnect with Sproles and Tyler. I feel like there's unfinished business.
Could you imagine?
I've hinted at it. I've punted for it at a pre-show for North to have Biggin and Wigan too as a pre-show.
What a show!
Literally, so Sproles and Tyler can kick the shit out of me. I feel like I owe them that. I owe them just to turn on me. I owe them. I think I owe Sproles and Tyler to just to.
By the way, they told me I'm sure Cage Tyler told me he made loads of money at that video. Was that a lie?
I know he retired because he retired
on the money he made for that.
No, well, I might have done. I know he said he couldn't shake he couldn't get out of the shadow of it, and I was like,
you killed his career.
I was just doing it to pop some people on.
You killed his career.
I told a story, and it's a bit bittersweet to tell it here, but we lost a bit of a legend in the podcast world over the weekend, a chap by the name of Blade Braxton, who does Wrestle Crap Radio, and just a lovely guy, passed away on Sunday. And look at that, that's amazing. And I got the chance to interview them years before I was doing stuff with Cultaholic. And the first thing that Blade said to me was, "You're the guy that does Chris Sproules and Cage Tyler." I was like, "Yeah, that's me." It was the first time somebody had like acknowledged what I was doing. I was like, "Oh my god!" And it was a podcast that I love the bones off, and I never forget that. So it's lovely to hear when people mention it.
Oh, by the way, shout out to that guy. That's horrible hearing about that guy because WrestleCrap's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's horrible.
Absolutely.
That's horrible, man.
But you know, nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Right. And look at this. Do you know what always wound me up when The Rock put up his middle finger? He done it like, you know, the Americans.
He kind of kept the other fingers. You can't see the podcast, but like I'm showing Grado, like you kind of keep the fingers half up as well. Like it feels quite a lot of work to do it that way. It doesn't feel quite natural. But this is where The Rock kind of leans into the fact, and The Rock was always really good at this. He leans into when he's getting booed, and he just goes, "All right, if you think I'm a bad, I'll just be a bad."
He plays up to it. He's got the perfect.
He did it with Rock Hogan. He did it against Hogan the following year, and he just went, "I'll be an ass then. I'll be an ass. It's fine." But I forgot about the ring bell bit. Actually,
I did as well.
I forgot all.
How cool does it look when a bald guy gets color?
Austin, you know, bought a house on that one bit of color that he got. Where running down his face, it looks like a horror.
That's thing. That made him right.
That's where it all began, isn't it?
That's where it all began.
Have you ever got? Do you miss blood? That's gone wrong.
Do you miss blood?
Do I miss blood? I don't know.
I miss blood.
When it's right to do it.
Is it a pack of salt and vinegar square?
Nah, you get amongst it. I think when it's right to do blood, it makes sense to do blood. I'm not like overly precious about it having to be there for the sake of being there. When the occasion calls for it, then yeah. Like, this match, like, okay, it's great that there's all the blood, but I don't think I lose anything from there not being blood from both, if you see what I mean.
I love it.
Do you miss blood?
I mean, I totally get. I know there's been a big kind of thing about blading over the years and stuff like that. But if it can be done safely, man, at the right times, not every week. But I think it's nice to see a wee bit of a crimson. What is it called? A crimson mask.
Crimson mask. Get him with the crimson mask.
I'm going to sound like the biggest fucking mark wrestler ever, but there is nothing better than being in an intense match built up and getting colour. I'm mad for it.
Can you remember a particular occasion where you did that stands out?
When I done it?
Hmm?
The first time I bladed was in my gran's bedroom when I was 12 years old, and I wrestled as Steve Austin's brother, Badass Mike Austin. That was my character.
Nice.
and I was wrestling my granny's pillows, and I had a bottle of Iron Brew. And by the way, I when I wrestled as Badass Mae Costin, I wore my gran's tights. Cool. You know, like the black tights that she wears, right up to my, to make it look like I was wearing black wrestling tights. And I also had a wee, she also had a wee tartan jacket, a wee tartan waistcoat that Stone Cold has. You know, that kind of shape, but it was in tartan that she would wear it when she would go to Tesco's and stuff like that. And so I had my granny's tights on, and I had the wee tartan jacket, and I thought, right, I'm going to get colour of the night when I wrestle this match, as soon as I stop listening to Talk Sport with Alex Shane. What I then done was sneaked through, out the back door, smashed the bottle of Iron Brew, came back into my granny's bedroom, and I just ripped my forehead open and was bleeding everywhere, 12-year-old, and it was the best. Up until when my Uncle Jimmy walked in and saw me standing there in his mother's tights, with a tartan waistcoat, with blood streaming all down my face. He says, "What the fuck are you doing, man? What the fuck are you doing?"
I mean, to non-wrestling fans, that's quite a difficult thing to explain.
You know what I mean? Standing there in my old granny's tights. I've told that story before, but I'll tell it.
I don't think you told it here, at least.
Did I really?
No, you haven't told it here.
Hey, that's fine.
Yes, you haven't told it here. No, it's new. This is new to us. You told it on Wrestling Daft, I believe. I don't think you've told it here. I think this is new to us. So, right, the you know it's bad because the announce table's gone and the emergency announce table is gone. This is the depths that the WrestleMania 17 is at the moment. This has been a great, like, this is the pinnacle of an amazing WrestleMania. Like, easily top
listen,
WrestleManias.
Mate. Listen, mate, right for the very start, that Regal and Jericho, loved that. I even loved Test and Eddie. Mm. I loved the TLC. And then what was good about that? Oh, he's gone up for the stunner. He's gone for the stunner.
No.
Now, he always got loads of heat for this sharpshooter.
I think because it's... Because Brett was always very much very cautious about the precision and connection of the sharpshooter, where Rock just kind of did like a cartoon version of the sharpshooter. And I think that's why he gets a lot of heat for it.
I know what you mean by that. It's like he's playing a guy that can put on a sharpshooter. I get what you mean by that.
It's like an anime version of the sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. Like the whole point of the movie is sort of taken away for the fact that it just looks like the sharpshooter, I think.
But listen, this event, if for me it's ECW One Night Stand, but this is probably second best event.
The first One Night Stand. Now that is the, I just apologize to interrupt you, but there was Steve Austin doing very, very self-aware, doing a throwback to WrestleMania 13.
That's right.
Where he leaned up, bellowed, blood pours down. Nice little contrast.
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's the drama of this, where, you know, he sticks his head up, he's big bald, he's blood running everywhere. Look at The Rock, man! Yeah, I didn't remember he had as much colour as that.
Yeah, I forgot how much The Rock bled in this one.
And there is somebody in the background. There's only one person in the crowd with two replica belts. You remember when it was hardly anybody had a replica belt?
Yeah, they felt special.
Everybody's got a replica belt.
I'll tell you what else that they don't have in this crowd that is everywhere. Not a single camera phone. That not always stands phone. Out to me when I watch these.
Oh,
no, there's a few old school cameras.
There's a few Canons. There's a few disposables.
But nobody's there holding their phone up, and it's like, just watch it. It's fine. Like,
and doesn't that remind you of that attitude era as well, when The Rock would go up the top rope and you just see all the flashes? You know what I mean?
Stunning.
You don't get that anymore because of the camera phones.
No, there's no people there either. Mm-hmm. It would be difficult to replicate. Distinct lack. I know they try and do it. Like, I mean, like Bray Wyatt / The Fiend brought that back with like the lights on the cameras sort of as fireflies for many years. That was a nice thing, but certainly no flash bulbs anymore.
No.
Certainly no.
And look at the wrestling camera journalist team running about the ring as well. We don't get that anymore.
Great. He's just clicking.
Is Bill Apto there?
What's the guy? Oh, would Apto still be here? Would Apto be, surely Apto be at a point now where he's sending underlings to do this sort of stuff for him?
You sure? Absolutely. Maybe
Apto,
you're right.
Heading down the front.
Mm-hmm.
Surely he doesn't need to do any of that anymore. Well. He's above being ringside. He'll be a junior. Get down ringside. I'm Bill Apter. I can't do an impression of Bill Apter.
Look at that. Imagine being there that night.
The
front row.
What's the biggest show that you've attended as a fan? Like in terms of like size.
I was at WrestleMania 27, which was the shits. But I'd probably say Rebellion 2001, The Rock versus Stone Cold.
Oh, nice.
The best, mate. I'm not joking you. That was the best day of my life. November the 3rd, 2001. I went down with my mum. We went down on the train. We got there at 12. I waited to see all the wrestlers go in. And, mate, this again, I'm going to go back to it, right? But I have this image, mate, of this image of standing at the gates of Manchester Evening News Arena and seeing a busload of wrestlers and picking out Steve Austin, picking out Farouk and Bradshaw, picking out Just Incredible in the bus and driving in. And I can always remember that.
Oh, wow.
And I went, I want to do that when I'm older. I'd love to be able to get in the bus and go into Manchester Evening News Arena. And I did eventually manage to do it with TNA. We drove in, and do you know what? It was weird, man. It was quite emotional, I remember, when the bus drove in, because I was thinking, and I saw wee guys, and I went, wow, man. I've lived the dream here. I've literally lived the dream. Wee things like that. Do you know what I mean? Just wee things like going in the bus with other wrestlers.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
That's a thing, man.
That is it. And it was lovely watching you do stuff in TNA. I think it's just nice. It's just
the old thing. A lot of shite. I had a good fun backstage, man, but it was rubbish.
But as far as I was concerned, watching on the screen, it was a good person doing good things, like, you know, getting good things. And that was what it was all about, you know?
Oh, I know you.
I hear what you're saying, that it might not have been sort of creatively, spiritually, what you wanted it to be, or what it should have been. But
I was just flung on in an X Division match. You know,
Monsters,
what I mean?
Monsters Ball, isn't it? You've done that.
Well, the first Monster Ball was 5 stars. The second Monster Ball was a dud.
Still did it.
There we go. Go for the Sinister Stunner.
There you go. Now, give us some analysis on the Rock Stunner, because the Rock Stunner was always a weird little floppy number.
He's no selling that, is he? When you think about what the Rock does for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A very animated version of a stunner, though.
But what I'm saying is, I thought you were asking about how Austin sells it.
Oh, how Austin sells it. No,
The
Rock has the best
sell. Oh, The Rock has the best sell, but did you see Austin take that there? It was a bit like, fuck, I'm giving him nothing here.
Sack of potatoes, isn't it? He ain't going up for that. He ain't going up. It's almost like he's punishing him for delivering an anime stunner. Oh,
now, this is where I was like, as a wee boy, I went, why is he coming then?
You're like, who's he here to help?
We all know what happens at the end of this match. Maybe there might not be, but did you expect it?
No. I kind of, the cogs started turning just before the finish, but I was like, I think because this is a rivalry that has been so ingrained in my brain as a fan that I couldn't comprehend it. And it made no sense.
Let me ask you this, Tom. Did your fragile little teenage mind at the time ever go, WCW was bought over last week, Goldberg's going to maybe run in, or Sting?
No. Or,
you know what I mean? Did that never cross your mind as a kid? That was in the back of my mind constantly through this match.
How would you have felt if it happened? How would you feel if Goldberg had bombed to the ring?
Wow, could you imagine? I mean, don't get me wrong, I lost my shit when I seen fucking Lance Storm just sitting in the gantry with Hugh Morris and Sean Stasiak. That to me was the coolest.
WCW wrestlers, as it said along the bottom.
But this was my mind. This was in my mind that they were going to get involved. But that's what happens when you're young. I loved being able to be, you know, could it happen? Could it not?
But there's something magic in being on the other side of that, isn't there? Like being able to sort of weave that element of doubt as a wrestler and go and tell that story.
But we don't want to give you that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? About like Chris Tarrant. But we don't want to give you that at the right time.
We don't want to give you that.
There
you
we go.
This isn't going to win it because he's facing the wrong way. He's not. It's not a hard cam people's elbow. It loses.
That's right.
-3 power.
But then you didn't know that when you were 14, 15, did you?
I had a little inkling. I didn't think that was going to. I thought I was going to kick out. I thought, I was an arse.
Oh my God.
I knew it wasn't going to win. Because it wasn't
when did you find out about Santa at fucking 18 months? Come on, man.
I sussed that the year that I got nothing but jumpers for Christmas from my aunties and uncles. Santa clearly hates me.
look at Vince running, man. How funny is that?
This is this bit, Bosh.
Oh, this was it for me.
I like Austin's rock bottom. Yeah. He goes down like proper old school Urinagi style, and I like it, and I like it a lot.
But I don't know. At this point, I'm going, why is Vince there? Who does he want to win?
Yeah.
At this point, I've no clicked on.
Even now, at this point, you're like, okay, is he just there just to cause trouble?
Mm-hmm.
I know he stopped The Rock from winning, but is he going to stop Austin from winning? Or what is this? I think by this point, maybe the cogs are turning a little bit because you're seeing that desperation from Austin that's going to come shortly. Because it's from here that this
is bumped. It was ref bumped.
There goes Earl. Thanks for coming, Earl.
Thanks for coming. Here we go.
There it is. That was where I went. No.
Nah, you really were clued up because I knew what a bad guy done and what a good guy done, but no, even to the point, I would never have realized that he was going to be a bad guy. Oh, there comes this cheer. Even at this point, I still didn't know.
Even now, I was fantasy
in my mind
6 months.
That's brilliant. But in my mind, because of that interview that JR had done with The Rock and Stone Cold prior, Stone Cold was like, I need this title. I need this title more than you can ever imagine. So I was just thinking, well, if he needs to use Vince, he needs to use Vince. So right. I didn't see it as bad. I just felt, oh my God, he's fucking clutching at straws here, using the chair for Vince. I didn't quite click on.
Oh, so you just thought, well, Vince is ringside. They're not connected, but he's going to make...
I was like, I have no idea why Vince wants Austin to win, but I know why Austin's taking gimmicks for Vince to try and fucking win.
But that
sorry for swearing a lot, by the way. Sorry.
Now you're fine. That pop for The Rock kicking out. This is
that was loud.
That was loud, and this is in Texas.
It was almost as big as Linda McMahon getting up out of her chair.
Oh, loudest pop of the night from Texas. Zombie Linda coming back to life.
What a moment.
That was a true WrestleMania moment. Yep. I don't care what you say. True WrestleMania moment is Zombie Linda waking up.
So, by the way, there we go. We've had a couple of middle fingers, which are, he goes up for the rock bottom.
Yoink.
Which, by the way, I think the middle finger is overused right now in AEW. Everybody's doing it. It really annoys me. But that's just
Steve Austin was the only one that middle fingered.
Yep.
And that was his
thing. There's only so many times you can do it.
If everyone, I think only Maki Ito should do middle finger in AEW. Nobody else. Man. She's so
superb.
Good. Here
Absolutely we go.
Sensational. Vince, what I've loved about Vince is, did you see that video from last year with Vince taking the bump off the balcony?
Yes.
At the performance center. Like, even at his age, he's still like, oh, there we go. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Christ.
This should be it. One, two. And oh my,
I tell you what it puts me in mind of. I don't know whether you see there's videos on YouTube of the game Heavy Rain with like plus 5,000 sensitivity on all the facial movements, so everything is massively exaggerated. That's like sensitivity up to 500%. Steve Austin bouncing around the ring, it's beautiful.
It's everything about it is. I just look at The Rock struggling to get up using the ropes.
At this point, we're like, this is going to happen. This is it.
Oh my God. And that is a snug steel chair shot.
They don't do them anymore.
So at this point.
No.
Nah, still not happening yet.
This is where Rock loses. Austin loses his mind here. This is it. He's gone. His head's gone.
He's demented. And I swear to God, I'm still telling the truth at this point. I don't know that he's trying to be a bad guy. I'm just telling you how I felt when I was young.
That's fine. I get it. Because thing is, like, it's in keeping for Austin to flip off the faces and the heels and all that all stuff. Because he was always the anti-hero. So it's in keeping.
He just wanted his title.
But this finish is brutal.
Quality finish.
Yeah.
Quality finish.
Great finish, weirdly. Like, just to go, bash him with a chair and then he's going to die. Like, and JR just bellowing.
Listen to JR.
What the hell is this? It's a new champion. Go on, Paul.
And listen to what does GL say? And I knowing what we know now, I can tell that JR isn't comfortable. Not that he's not comfortable, but he doesn't think this is the best idea for us.
But he's selling it. That's the difference, though. Like, if he's not comfortable with it, he's certainly giving me the impression that he's on board with the angle.
So he can turn it into anger.
Mm.
Right. I tell you what.
Taking out saying himself.
I probably clicked. That's the moment. That was the moment.
That was it. The flip off.
That was the moment. The finger to the guy in the crowd. I went, he's a bad guy.
Oh.
He's a bad guy. That was the moment, mate. I've been waiting on that. That was the moment where I went, wow.
He flipped off the crowd. That's when you know. Mm-hmm. And now he's drinking with Vince and that. If there was ever a shred of doubt left, there they go. Now, do you know what Steve Austin's plan, what Steve Austin pitched for this match, for the end of this match? So Steve Austin pitched the finish go down as it is, but at this point, as him and Vince are chugging beers, he stunners Vince. That was the pitch. And we talked about it on, we did a tier list over the weekend. I said this is the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time, by the way. And I said no, because if you're going to make him heel, it's just a confusing mess. If suddenly he stuns Vince, what was, you know, just stick to your guns one way or another.
And Tom, you could argue that what this done for the Steve Austin character, for me, a lot of people say, you know, it was never the same when he turned into a bad guy. But think of the hilarious moments that we got with Kurt Angle, with the Alliance, the original Watch stuff, all stems for this. This was cool.
I think he enhanced his legacy with the heel turn. Yep. I think he gave us a whole new series of wrinkles to Steve Austin, the character. I think you run the risk of him. I mean, and that was kind of the impetus of all this in the first place. Steve Austin came back to a very different WWF after he'd left. And the character,
I think he was insecure.
Different. Yeah. And you had, but it was felt like the same old Steve Austin with new music. Mm-hmm. So he was going to have to mix it up, and he did. And then we got this great asshole sort of heel run from Steve Austin, and I think it added so much to his legacy.
But it is interesting because, you know, there is people still in that crowd that are refusing to boo.
Yeah.
And you think, was that the right time? It's weird, man, because look, this is amazing, but it is mental to think that he had, like, because I believe in his head, his insecurities was that he wasn't the top good guy anymore, and he wanted to spice. I think that's how he felt. But there must have been some point, I can guarantee you, that during that match, he's thinking, I don't know if this is the right idea.
Mm.
I can guarantee he's went, maybe this is a bit too soon.
And to
do it, think I'm right? Again, nothing to be like Stone Cold and the Rock, but when I turned heel, I remember thinking, oh my God, the crowd haven't been as loud recently. And then the night that I did turn heel, they had been the loudest they'd ever been for years. And I'm lying to Matt going, why am I turning heel right now? Why am I turning heel? But at the same time, I'm going, but it will have a bigger effect. So you
think big picture.
Right.
Big picture.
Do you regret him that night after? Do I regret it?
Hmm.
Kinda. But I hated wrestling as a heel. However, I did love the promos and stuff like that, and I loved winding up the ICW fans because I was getting heat anyway for the fuck TNA, and I just embraced it and I loved it. But I suppose I regret that I couldn't do it full time. I couldn't be a bad guy on Twitter. I couldn't be a bad guy in Greenock Town Hall in front of the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
But listen, it always blew my mind. Here is a WrestleMania outro package. It always blew my mind thinking, my God, there must be a guy sitting there like basically pressing save as 10 seconds before the show's ending to put this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That you want to talk about pressure situations at WrestleMania? The guy making this. The guy sat in front of Adobe Premiere in the middle of a backstage area.
On a Windows, not even a Windows XP at this point.
Oh, no, it would be like Windows 98, wouldn't it? Or Windows
man.
Winners NT. Jesus. But this was a hell of a WrestleMania. A hell of a WrestleMania.
The old 3 seconds before the power nearly went completely out in that hardcore match.
Yeah, they took WrestleMania off the air. So, mate, like, we've just watched one of your three for your Desert Island Graps. How does it feel watching it again in this sort of environment?
It's just nostalgia, man. Yeah. It's brilliant. This has been good, like, talking about, you know, how I felt when I was young and, as you say, being down the stairs. And, you know, it's like when you realise that Stone Cold has turned into a bad guy, you've got that wee kind of urge in you to go up and wake up your mum and dad who couldn't give two fucks. But you feel like go up and wake them up going, believe it, Stone Cold Steve Austin has turned into a bad guy. Yeah, and that did cross my mind.
I know your dad's working nights, but come on, let's just tell him.
Do you know what I mean?
Let's wake him up and tell him.
But this, and I remember, do you know what was so good about it as well, mate? This brings back memories. I cannot wait to go to school and talk to my pals in the playground about this.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
College the next day, there were two lads who I used to knock about with who were wrestling fans, and it was, we were just like, Steve Austin's a baddie. Can't believe it.
Aye. Can't believe just the best.
Linda's alive, so that's all right.
And then there was also the children that probably weren't allowed to stay up to watch it, and you know you'd try and, but you couldn't keep that to yourself. You'd be like, Steve Austin is a champion. He's turned into a bad guy.
If you base it on crowd reaction, surely the Backlash main event is Steve Austin versus Linda.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Forget everything else. Forget everything else. Main event: Steve Austin, Linda.
Book it.
That's what people want. She's the hottest baby face in the company right now.
That was the two, honestly. That would have been a very, very, very good shout for Linda.
Grado, do your thing. Plug all the things that you're currently doing. This is your time.
I am on the radio every morning, Monday to Friday, between 6 and 10 on Goat Radio. Just shout, launch Goat Radio. I'm doing that every Monday to Friday between 6 and 10. Talking a lot of shite. That's what I'm doing. And also, if you want to give Wrestling Daft a wee...
Yeah! Plug it.
Plug. Because what I love about Wrestling Daft, I love sitting with Rav Florence and John and talking about wrestling, but the big thing I love is hearing the feedback for guys on Twitter and their suggestions and their puns. And it's very... it's quite Scottishy, if you know what I mean. It's very kind of Scottish comedy. However, that can translate internationally, and I think if you want to listen to just a couple of tubes, I mean, I know there's so many podcasts out there, but give you Wrestling Daft a wee chance, because I will talk about myself 95% of the time and put myself over, but isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, that's 100% what it's all about. Grado, thank you for joining me to watch WrestleMania 17. This has been an absolute delight. It's been
oh, nice. Mate, I've really enjoyed myself, and I would like to say that I'm geared up for watching this year's WrestleMania, but I don't really.
Are you more geared up than when you started, though?
Yeah.
Yes. Life is a myth.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.